What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Monday morning. Well, an awful lot to discuss today. An extremely thorough, an extremely impressive victory by the Eagles yesterday. Just outstanding. Look, they get a 37-17 win. Hurts was awesome. The defense was terrific. And we got a 5-2 football team. You know, as we approach Halloween, we got a team with juice. It's awesome. Look, we'll talk about it all day. 215-592-9494. Rich.
You need to eat a lot of crow. You need to eat a lot of crow today. And I hope you do. I hope that's where we're headed. Did you know bees have five eyes?
I did not. I did know I would eat crow today. I didn't know bees
have eyes.
You got
to eat a lot of crow. I mean, crow's not the same as bees. They both fly.
Yeah.
Bees have two large eyes on either side of their head, and then they have three simple eyes. They're called ocelli eyes on the top of their head, and they detect light, but not shape. So it's like a bee can detect if something's coming down to swat it from the top.
Like how people are going to swat me over the head today?
They should. Everyone should. I want to.
I hope people do. I was thrilled with yesterday. Let's get into it. There's a lot of aspects to this. Obviously, Jalen's the biggest, and I'm going to get to that in about 45 seconds. Let me just start this way. Great win. Great win. A win that pumps this up. You know, they outscored Cincy 20-0 in the final 19 minutes of the game. The Eagles yesterday took a big shot from Cincinnati early. Big shot. 10-minute drive, 7 points right out of the gate, 10 minutes into the game. Eagles take a big shot, withstand it. Come back swinging, still end up leading the time of possession of the game. Defense was outstanding. They beat Joe Burrow on the road, and the Birds get to 5-2. But ladies and gentlemen, all of that pales into comparison to the biggest story from yesterday, and that's that Jalen Hurts was outstanding. He really was. I mean, listen, he was efficient. His decision-making appeared crisp. He was accurate with the football. He controlled the game to a large extent with his legs when he had to. I mean, he was just awesome. And this, John, is obviously...
So can we agree that we can keep him now? Like, can we agree that he's our quarterback now? Can we agree that this young 26-year-old kid continues to improve because he works at it in part, but also because he is incredibly skillful and can do things other quarterbacks cannot? We should be grateful for a lot of those skills. It took him a while to get to where he's feeling as confident as he needs to feel within this new offense. New this year. It's different. It's new. He told us it was 95% different verbiage. Like, and then we said, oh, hey, no, it couldn't have been that much. That's way too much. But what if it was? But what if he felt like he was learning that much new?
Well, there's a difference between verbiage and
protection. He's calling the protection this year.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot more than he did when Jason Kelce was his center. He should be commended for the amount of work that he put in. And then
we heard that
over the bye week, we heard that he went in there and he said, you know what? I'm not going to leave town. I'm not going to leave this facility. I'm just going to work on what I need to get better. That's what he did for his spring break, so to speak, whatever you'd call it, but, you know, during the bye. That's the quarterback that I want. The quarterback that I want is 26 years old and can do it all, and now he's showing us that again, and I love it, and I'm so impressed that he's figuring it out with this new play caller, and this play caller's figuring it out with him, and everything just looked so much crisper and more confident yesterday. He's our guy. Please, can we get our heads around that? He's gonna be our guy, and he's gonna be even better when he's our guy then.
Well, here's what I'll say. That's the guy I want for a long time if you can bottle it up and do it often. And you know, I don't say that to skew negative. I say that just to be real. Obviously, what we saw yesterday is what they're paying $250 million for. It's what was essentially, I'll use the word promise. It's not the accurate word, but promise from his 2022 season. You saw him in 2022, and what we saw yesterday would be no surprise based on what we saw in 2022. The problem is it's a surprise based on what we saw for a good chunk of 23 and, you know, almost half of 24. But look, he did it yesterday.
He made mistakes even yesterday.
Well, he started slow.
He made mistakes, you know, leading up to yesterday. That's what every quarterback does, but that we don't seem to notice about the other quarterbacks. Every quarterback makes mistakes. You make less as you learn while you're playing. And we should all be excited that Jalen is getting back to looking his best.
Well, he looked great.
And the fact that he's 26, we know he has not learned it all yet. He's just starting to learn this offense. He's got 69 regular season games under his belt, 5 postseason games under his belt. That's not much. Look, I mean, there are iron horses out there, and he's tough. I know he's going to work to be out there, but that's not the just look at some of the old heads. The experience chalks up. Like I said, when Rich Gannon was the MVP of the NFL, he must have been 35.
Well, we also know that's an exception to the rule, though. I mean, we know that.
But I watch other quarterbacks, like even this season, Sam Darnold. He's been bounced around the league.
No question.
All over the place.
No question.
What happens is, as a quarterback, you get more familiar just by being immersed in it, just by being around it, and so you get better. You learn by being in it, by watching those plays, by playing that football. And that's what Jalen has to do with this coach, with this play caller. And it continues to get better. And it's going to get better at a greater rate than anyone should expect, because this guy is special and this guy works in a different capacity than other people do.
Well, look.
And you need to give him credit.
I am.
That he deserves
credit.
Not just as a player, but as a guy who's going to continue to develop. And he, without question, should be considered the focal point of the offense, the focal point of the future of the offense, because that's what they did here. They built it around him.
Look, we'll take your reaction, 215-592-9494, to the whole thing. You want to take a bite out of me today? Go for it. You know, obviously I'm thrilled with how they played, and it's great to see this season have life. I mean, as recently as 14 days ago, we got in here after a win because they had beaten a really sorry Browns team and barely beaten them. And even though they had a winning record, we didn't feel good. And the town was coming down on Sirianni, and rightfully so. The reality is, in the last 14 days, they've gotten a lot of things in order, and Jalen is the biggest part of it. Now, he's not the only part.
Well, that's another thing.
The defense is
awesome. By the way, the run-stopping part of the defense, which I loved under Jim Schwartz, but I've lamented since.
Yep.
We've allowed, over the last two games, just 72 yards on the ground per game. That's, you know, I'll take that.
Yep.
There was another stat that I thought was outstanding. Since the third week of the season, teams are scoring 12.8 points per game against us. Vic Fangio's, whatever you call it, scheme, system, concepts, the players are grasping them very clearly.
And Cooper DeJean has really helped.
Oh,
he really has.
The exuberance of youth, there's like a little extra burst of speed out there with Quinyon Mitchell, with Cooper DeJean. I'm telling you, the ignorance of youth at times when you're covering a guy that you probably have no right being out there covering, but you don't even care. You're young. Hey, throw caution to the wind. I'll take a couple risks here. I'll study hard, and I'm prepared. We got young guys who are worth their salt, which is great to see.
So, look, a really exciting victory, and frankly, the first truly exciting victory since last year. As much as last week felt much better than it had, I mean, you know the Giants are dog meat. Now, I'm not convinced the Bengals are particularly great. I think you could tell pretty early Burrow was trying to get that ball out quickly because he didn't trust his line, and rightfully so. But and who knows?
Cincinnati felt like a group that looked ready to take the bull by the horns. And you were saying last week, we aren't the better team. They've got the better quarterback. They're going to win. That can't be erased. Our city just said, like, hey, we're not as good as this upstart once again, Cincinnati Bengals team that seems to lose the first half of every season.
Well, two-thirds of people yesterday or on Friday in our poll picked the Eagles to win. So, I mean, there was a lot of belief in the Eagles going into this game from a lot of people. I wasn't one of them. I mean, it wasn't like I was saying they can't win, but I did not expect them to. And obviously, early, I was tremendously concerned. You see Burrow do what he did and Chase and, you know, their tight end, and they just march right down the field. But, you know, it's an incredible fact, and I did not realize this until looking at the box score and inside the game after the game was over. So we knew it wasn't a game with many possessions, in part because you had these long possessions, like Cincy's first one. The Eagles only had the ball eight times. James, do you know that they scored on 7 of the 8 possessions?
I saw that stat.
Isn't that great?
It's wild.
7 of the 8 possessions they scored. It was 4 touchdowns, 3 field goals, and 1 punt. That was it. So look, spectacular.
It truly was. It truly was a spectacular performance on both sides of the ball. And it feels like it's just a familiarity breeding, just more cohesiveness, execution. Guys talk about that term all the time. They're executing now.
Well, look,
and they weren't earlier in the season.
It feels like Fangio and Kellen Moore are getting a greater handle of what they've got and an imprint on this football team more so. Got to give Sirianni a lot of credit. The town was coming down on his head 14 days ago on a Monday after a victory. This is going to be a different kind of week for him. He deserves it. And Jalen, more than anybody, deserves a lot of praise today and this week for what he did yesterday and how he weathered his own storm, because he was in the eye of the storm, I'd say, last week as much as he's ever been. And he played the best game he's played in, you know, I don't quite know how long, but at least
since
a calendar
the Super
year.
Bowl, maybe?
Maybe yeah. Since the Super Bowl. Yeah, I think that's probably right, James. Well, it was such a big win on so many levels. It really was. I mean, there's so many aspects of this team that...
Oh, yeah. What's the main level?
The main level is for me.
Well, yes.
What's your question?
The biggest level that you felt mattered about this game, like
Jalen Hurts can be great, and that if he can bottle that up and do it again and again and again, or be near that again and again and again, then you've got something to really build with for years to come. Now, look, I'm not going to tell you I'm convinced this morning based on, 45 minutes of great football. But, saying game football. Because, in the very beginning, I wasn't vibing totally with them, even though they ended up that drive and a field goal. But once he really got into that game second quarter, it was phenomenal. And so, yeah, my biggest takeaway clearly is that if he can play like that or near that, then it completely changes the whole arc of this era of Eagles football. Now, I'm not going to go crazy here and tell you I'm convinced it'll happen, but it was great to see. It's fantastic to know it's in there, and I thought he was really impressive. What's your biggest takeaway?
Well, I think it's Jalen also. I think it's Jalen, no question. I think we should rejoice in the knowledge that it's still in there.
Yeah.
Because I think we were all wondering. We were all questioning it. It hasn't been obvious. Even the staunchest supporters have wavered. We wondered. But that is a real positive that he's got so much more than what we saw. And a lot of it is just, hey, he's got a rhythm with the play caller. Hey, he's got more plays, just sheer volume of plays run. That's clearly what we need to just have more of a sample size. And that sample size creates more comfortability with, Kellen Moore, with Jalen Hurts, with AJ. It just keeps building. And now it's finally feeling like it's cresting. This wave is getting to the point where we can wreck some shop on these other teams, because the offense is humming, and the defense, by the way, just sort of secretly behind closed doors, it has been tinkering in their workshop.
I know.
And they figured out a way to really shut people down, kind of old school, and it's different. We're sending inside linebackers to get some of the work done of the outside guys, and it's just specific to this group. which is good coaching.
Let's get a lot of calls in here. There's so many aspects of this game to react to, and it's certainly not just Jalen, but it's also that we've got a season now. We got a 5-2 football team. Fantastic. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. David in Drexel Hill kicks us off. David, good morning, buddy.
I'm going to take a shot at you, but I still do love you.
Oh, thanks, Pat.
I'm so glad I wasn't listening to you. And I've been supporting Jalen because here's two things people don't understand. Team chemistry is a lot. Having a good coach, having good offensive coordinators is a lot. And when them changing every year, he needs time to gel. Just think about it. We got a brand new running back. Wide receiver was out hurt for a long time. They're going to be good. And here's Jalen Hurts' number one strength is that he doesn't listen to the media because 80% of the people never wanted him anyway. And here's the thing I want to shoot at you.
Oh, Hammer. I think it was more like 95.
Yeah, you're right. You made me love you again, Hammer. I was trying to be nice. Hey, but let me ask you this, Hammer. This is the main reason I always call and people get mad at me because I compare Jalen to Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And I say Patrick Mahomes, his stat-wise, is stinking this year. And they win every game because Patrick is a star and he is the best quarterback in the league. I think most people would agree with that.
I think everybody would agree with that.
Guess what, Hammer? Hmm. It's the team. It's the coach keeping them undefeated. The man got 9 interceptions, and they won every game anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not just the turnovers, the way y'all pointed Jalen, why he can never win. But you don't look at Jalen's record from the Super Bowl year to when he was 10-0 and then so.
Well, we do look at it. I mean, we talk about all that stuff. Look, we talk about all of it. And David, here's the thing. Yesterday he was great. He had not been in a while.
I liked the game before.
Huh?
I liked them in the game before that.
Mm. Not really.
Look,
not really.
I wanted to, David. I wanted to like it, but you'll agree it looked a little bit reserved. Like there was a little bit of hesitation before he broke to the sideline more often than he kept it in the pocket and kept his eyes upfield. It just felt like everything was more together yesterday. Like the protection, there was a pocket. He felt confident in it. There were a few times he stepped up in said pocket. He was so much quicker physically. And on those 10 carries, there were times where, man, he juked some guys. It looked like, wait, I forgot that our quarterback, once upon a time, we used to say, man, he looks so much more like a running back than I expected. You know, we're out there at training camp saying he really does. Like, even his height looks like a running back at times, like a big running back, but a running back juking people out of their jocks.
He reminded me yesterday of a point guard, and we talk about a point guard in from basketball in a quarterback sense sometimes because you got to distribute the ball.
Well, that's what we should talk about with this offense.
But the part that he reminded me more of a point guard than usual
was a nasty juke point guard.
A point guard has to determine sometimes when he has to score himself. You know, normally you think point guard pass, I mean, at least in the old days, pass, set up this guy. But part of it is controlling the flow of a game and calling his own number at times. And that's something Jalen did. Like, Jalen yesterday with his legs, that was a big part of controlling the game. His arm obviously was effective, and he controlled the tempo in many ways with some of those third and fourth down conversions, the quarterback sneaks, the runs up the middle, as you're pointing out, John, juking people. It was very impressive. James, your reaction, this was not something I saw coming. Your reaction.
Yeah, I said I felt this way. I said on my postgame pod with Elliot last night. It was like last week was the first time, we said in a year over a year, since we could feel like relaxed and easy and good about an Eagles win. But it was the Giants. This week is the first time I feel like I can puff my chest out a bit.
No question.
I could be like, you know what? My football team's good. We'll see how good. We'll see where this ends up. We'll see what kind of run they can go on. But I got a good football team, and I was proud to be an Eagles fan yesterday. That was awesome, man.
Rhea, how surprised were you with how Jalen played?
I was pleasantly surprised. And I remember writing down in my notes at one point, like 3 or 4 times in a row lined up under center.
Yep.
I went, okay, all right. You know, I think the number I heard was like 13. Now, obviously, some of those are tush pushes.
21.
Yeah. Oh, 21. Wow.
So it was 21. 13 was the Giants game. 7, the Browns game. It's consistently been going up.
Good.
So, I thought when we had Jason in a couple weeks, he kept saying tempo, tempo, and they were doing that.
Yep.
And I just, I mean, it was tight windows. It was thrown across the middle. It was thrown deep. And I'm going, oh, you know, with Saquon here, that makes Craig Calcaterra had like 58 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was as impressive a performance by him that I think I've ever seen.
You know, I appreciate also the coaches. You know, you get a first. I think the first play of the game was a run to Saquon for like 6, 7, 8 yards. I think that they are trying to help Jalen out in a way that some people might see as me pointing this out as a criticism of Jalen. I don't mean it as such right now. I think they're doing a better job balancing things. They're leaning on Saquon to a large extent. I mean, this was a game when, you know, Jalen only had 20 passes. Now, part of that's because in the end you win by 20 points. And so in the fourth quarter, you're going to salt that game away.
And there was a 10-minute drive to open the game.
There was.
That was insane.
But you know what's incredible? A 10-minute drive by the other team to start the game.
They still scored 37
and
points.
And the Eagles win the time of possession.
And scored 37 points.
I'm well aware. I mean, if you score all but one drive, you got that capability. Look, an incredibly impressive. And in some ways, I mean, thrilling might be a little bit of a stretch. But, like this gives great life to this season. It really does. And we need it. This is a fan base. We've been frustrated with what happened with the Phils. Obviously, the Sixers thing has not gotten off to a good start. Now, they get a win yesterday.
Hi, Reese.
And, of course, they get a win about an hour after the Eagles game ends. But, you know, it's funky. So we need the Eagles. And yesterday, they really delivered. And they will in all likelihood make the playoffs. I mean, I don't want to stamp it because they're not there yet. But at 5-2, they're in a great spot. Obviously, 3 wild cards give you a hell of a shot. And, you know, division's up for grabs. And they got a real shot. 215-592-9494. Coming up, what Nick Sirianni said after the game about Jalen Hurts. We'll get to that. Mixing a lot of audio through the show. Your reaction. How surprised are you? How pumped up are you? What'd you make of Jalen? What do you make of the defense? And Sirianni deserves some love, too, because 2 weeks ago, there were a lot of people that wanted to run him out of town, and he's now the head coach of a 5-2 football team that has already this year weathered multiple storms, from the drop at the end of the Vikings game to what happened 2 weeks ago after a win.
And just the start of a season coming off what happened last year.
I am well aware. Sirianni deserves a lot of credit. Well, I got to tell you, I was really surprised to see Jalen play that well, but incredibly happy about it. And the defense really is coming on. I mean, maybe the defense is legit. I'm not convinced Cincinnati is legit. I mean, first off, they've got a bunch of losses this year. And secondly, I think you could tell early that Burrow was trying to get that ball out quick because his line, you know, I mean, we knew going in his line wasn't very good, and it looked that way to me. Even though the Eagles didn't have too many sacks, it just looked like Burrow was making a point to get it out fast. And once the Eagles kind of, yeah, maybe made some adjustments to that, and Gesicki stopped making catches that were, you know, the next state over.
My
I mean,
goodness.
That one catch, it's like, I don't know how he caught that ball. But look, he and
oh, there's some pretty sticky gloves or something.
Holy man, Fred Biletnikoff, John. He would be
totally
right.
Freddie B. Man, you know, he was my wide receivers coach for 5 years.
I do know that,
and he taught me how to hit the speed bag. You know,
you want to do that to my face today?
No, I think that most people should, though. Like,
have people taken it easy on me so far? I feel like, James, I feel like people are taking it easy on me. Like,
well, I think, it's not just you. Hold on. It's not just you, Joe.
Well,
there was a lack of faith across the board.
That's why they're taking it easy on me.
Jalen Hurts. Me too.
That's exactly.
Everyone was down on Jalen. Not everyone said that we would lose like you
did.
But I think there were a lot of people who felt like we would lose. I doubted that Jalen could get back to being that top, you know, whatever it was, 3 quarterback we once thought that he was in 2022. And yesterday was the first time in, it feels like a year or so, that I felt confident that he could get back to that point. That he could be mentioned in the same breath as those elite quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. So, you know what was, I thought, an incredible tweet, given how the game ended, or not just ended, given how the flow of the game went, you know, middle second quarter on. So, Seth Joyner, who you know, John, of course, he'll be with us today at 9 o'clock. He's been a big Jalen defender when other people have been running for the hills. Seth tweeted this at a certain point in the game. I don't know exactly when this is. It obviously would be first half. Seth tweeted this. I've defended Jalen Hurts as far as I can go, hoping he'd figure it out. That ball to Gainwell leads me to believe he had no clue that Cincinnati was in man coverage if he thought he could go there. Hashtag very concerned. 5 exclamation points. It's just an amazing thing. That tweet is in the same game as we... I can't
imagine...
Was that
the Kenny Gainwell play, maybe?
Gainwell, yeah. I can't imagine there's anybody listening right now that thinks that Jalen Hurts has had a better game in the last 12 months. I mean, it was so clearly the best game he's had in at least 12 months, as James pointed out, maybe in a year and a half since the Super Bowl.
So you can see that that is an incredible overreaction.
What is?
That Seth's
no, not necessarily, because you can make the case. I'm not going to be a wet blanket today, but I'm not going to say a bunch of mediocre games gets washed away by one great game. So
you need to say that the concept. I don't know if this is our quarterback.
No, I'm not.
Does get washed away?
No, I'm not ready to say that.
He has the top end stuff that every team dreams of. He is that guy.
Well, he's got to put it together consistently.
And Joe,
he hasn't done that in a long time.
What he needs,
you can't act like
reps with this offensive coordinator and this system.
Well, listen, I'll be the first person at that parade if they win a Super Bowl
and if they get near it,
God bless them.
He looked completely different.
I know.
He finally looked confident. He finally looked quick with his decision making.
There you are yourself. Finally is a key word
there. I thought that he would. I expected him to.
Well,
I hoped that he would.
Well, so did I.
Well, you did not expect him to.
I did not expect him to play that well yesterday. That's correct. Yeah,
and
I did not.
It was such a welcome sight.
I agree.
That he got there finally.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. What Sirianni said about Hurts after the game, we'll get to that shortly. Mike in Norristown right now. Mike, good morning.
Hey, what do you know? What do you say?
I don't know, man. A lot. You tell us.
You tell us.
Yeah.
Great way to start the week, guys. Hell of a game. I think I don't care about the Bengals' record. I think that they're a good team. I mean, they're a play away from beating the Chiefs and the Ravens, who are contenders. So we play like that. We're a top team.
Right?
We're a top team in the NFC.
It's us or the Lions. It's us or the Lions. Yeah.
Washington. And I'm not convinced it's for sure the Eagles in the top two or three, but they've taken a big step.
I think you have to say today the Lions are the best team in the NFC.
No, I know, but I'm saying Washington wasn't said there.
No, I know. I'm just saying the Lions have to be the ahead of the Eagles without a doubt.
They have played the best so far. That is clear.
But we're playing Washington in 2 weeks at home on Thursday night. I'm going to that game, and we're gonna rock them.
Well, it really sets. We haven't had Mike, and good call. We have not had many big Eagles Washington games in since the '90s. Early,
it's been a long time.
Late '80s. I mean, it's been a long time. By the way, Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and, of course, remember those that have passed away. We all hope for a cure. ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, which unit was more impressive yesterday? Both were. Which one was more impressive yesterday, in your opinion? A, the offense, or B, the defense? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's also give you a little taste of some of the other stuff from over the weekend, because, of course, every Monday we do the Got a Door and Window to the Weekend, a look back at what was over the weekend. You can buy a window or door and get the second and half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Got a Door and Window at 1-877-GO-GOTTA. You can also visit them at GOGUIDA.com. Well, in addition, obviously, to a tremendous and extremely impressive Eagles victory yesterday, believe it or not, 3-game winning streak. Sixers, Flyers, Eagles. Who would have thunk it? 3-for-3 in the last three, all three teams. And a big-time performance by the Flyers, putting up, 7 goals, I think, on Saturday. So that was unbelievable. And then, of course, the World Series has been bonkers. Seltzer, how nuts, how bonkers was the World Series so far?
Who would have thunk we would see a walk-off Hail Mary yesterday, and it would be the second craziest ending of the weekend?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously?
No, you're right.
I mean, come on. It's crazy.
You know what, even Game 2 was interesting down the stretch.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I'm happy for him.
Awesome to see that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I
Look at you, Braves Never, fan. John Ritchie, Braves fan.
Not a Braves fan.
John Ritchie, Dodgers fan.
I'm a Freddie Freeman fan, just from having heard the stories about some of the stuff.
With his kid this year, the injury. And then also just for that moment, the first walk-off Grand Slam in World Series history, for it to be like a Hall... A guy's going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, for it to be a meaningful dude, like... It just makes it feel bigger.
It's so cool.
It's been a fun series. I don't, you know, in the last 10 years or so, I haven't watched too much of the World Series. Like a lot of people, I kind of drifted away from the national baseball scene. But this is a good one. I mean, two marquee franchises.
Well, it feels iconic. When you watch
it,
you see those teams facing off.
Totally.
It feels big. You
and
know?
You know what? It's not freaking Tropicana Field. It's Dodger Stadium.
Absolutely.
And whatever they call it, Yankee Stadium. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called that,
Yankee Stadium.
All right,
though.
So Dodger Stadium and Yankee Stadium. And I don't get the
I love that they have the names of their
teams. Yeah, I don't have StaplesCenter.com or whatever that freaking thing's called anymore. I still call it Staples Center.
Good point.
But they changed it to something else. It has been visually on TV really cool to watch. All right. By the way, back at it tonight with Game 3. All right, let's get to Sirianni. On Jalen Hurts, there was so much good in that game by Jalen. Sirianni talked about it postgame.
Do you think Jalen has been so efficient since the bye? I don't think he's had a turnover. His passer rating is like 130 for three games, and it's pretty steady. Why do you think he's been so efficient in the last three games, maybe compared to the first four?
Yeah, you know, Jalen puts the work in. Like, that's something that doesn't get talked about enough for Jalen Hurts. The amount of time, how much he loves football, and how much time he puts into this game. And that's how you want one of your leaders on your team to be, is the time he puts into this game. And so we were able to look at some of the things that we were inefficient on, some of the things that we were good on. And, you know, he just put so much work into it. And, you know, you're a product of how you practice. And he's been you know, I know you guys only get to see a little portion of practice, but he's been practicing his butt off. I don't know if the ball on Thursday on our long practice, I'm not sure the ball hit the ground. And so that was, you know, it's the work. There is no secret to success, right? It's the habits, it's your habits, it's your work ethic. The same things it took to win this game is going to be the same things it takes next game. Success takes what it takes.
Look, we'll play a lot of audio through the show. Sirianni Hurts, some of the players, some of what was said post-game. All right, your reaction, 215-592-9494, Derek and Paoli. Derek, good morning, buddy.
Yeah, you got to be stopped, bro. You got to be stopped. Listen, the Eagles, right, that's what I thought about the whole season with the Eagles. They were missing their core players for like half their games, right?
Yeah, well, there's no
AJ
doubt
AJ was out for three.
The AJ thing was a big factor. Yeah,
yeah, like for them to like for us to like crucify the coach and the quarterback and this and that without AJ Brown, without Devontae Smith, without Lane Johnson. If that was any other team, we would make up a million excuses on why this team ain't winning. Like watching that game yesterday for me, I just said, "Yo, the Eagles, we gonna be a tough out." I mean, the Lions look great. Don't get me wrong, but the Eagles, if they get a lead. But Saquon, they're going to be a tough out, man. And the defense, whew, they're playing solid ball right now.
They really
bro.
Are. They're saying, playing good. They're
hey,
playing good on defense.
On both sides of the ball and all that. And
well, that's key. New coordinators on both sides of the ball. Is it any wonder that it looks a little faster paced now than it did at the start of the regular season? And I thought the start of the regular season was, oh, they didn't work enough during training camp, and so that's to be expected. But it's also on top of that, they just needed more reps with these coordinators.
That's what I feel. Listen, I feel like that yesterday with the offense, I feel like they might listen to us a little bit too much because Jalen Hurts was under center a lot, and he threw the ball across the middle way more than normal. So they showed both of those things. And Joe Burrow, he might have took three snaps under center the whole game yesterday. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
He was in shock.
Hey, he's out of the gun. That's why I said under center, I'm sure it has some, like, whatever to it, but that's just like a lost art with a lot of quarterbacks now. And you'd be punished for acting like Jalen Hurts is incapable of doing a lot of stuff. But yesterday – just showing how they starting to get all their guys back and they're gelling. He's showing some form of 2022, man. I'm just excited to see how it gets going forward, yo.
I agree with that,
Derek.
It's
going to be pretty fun.
I agree with that. Look, there's no we got something to look forward to now. And beyond just, hey, they got to dump the quarterback at some point. I mean, now it's, hey, they might be able to keep the quarterback. We'll see. I mean,
Hold on. Time
will tell.
Now they might be able to keep.
Now they might be able to keep the quarterback. That's correct. You have a comment? You're looking at me. This is talk radio.
You got to speak, John.
You have a comment, make
it. Just think about what you said. Like, now that we've seen him play the best game that we've seen since 2022, and he's done what we hoped was, which was show that, you know, that top end speed, so to speak. He showed that decision making, that pocket awareness, that arm strength and accuracy, like everything. Everything you're looking for.
I agree. He was phenomenal yesterday. He was absolutely tremendous.
So what more does he need
to do? You ready?
Other than...
You ready?
Yeah.
Do it again and again and again. That's what he needs to do. That's what he needs to do. Let's talk to Bill and Pittman. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Hey, as the... crazy guy that a month before the 2020 draft called you guys up and said the Eagles should draft Jalen Hurts in the second round.
Nick, at you.
I can verify.
That's insane.
And you were speechless, John. Truly. I've been keeping my powder dry. I've been keeping my mouth shut. I've been keeping my thoughts
I find
myself.
That hard to believe exactly. In 2022 you exactly. didn't tell a buddy or two that you were the guy. By the way, Bill, I also was very happy when they drafted Jalen Hurts, for the record.
Yeah. Well, the night of the draft, my phone exploded with all my buddies who were listening and heard me say it. I had text messages, phone calls. But anyway, I've been keeping my thoughts to myself, listening to all the hatred, all the criticism of our QB1, because I knew that with this offensive coordinator and Jalen Hurts as our quarterback, there was going to be a moment in this season when they both put it together. Yesterday was that game. Jalen Hurts is going to continue to play this way the rest of the season. And for everybody that thinks that he's not a legit elite quarterback, you need to stop, because he is. He's got an iron will, an incredible work ethic, and yesterday he proved that he is our QB1.
All right, Let me ask you a question. I'm going to tread very carefully today. I mean this because the last thing I want is for people to construe things I say as negative in nature today, because no one's in the mood for that. I'm not in the mood for that. But I will just ask you this question based on what you said. Just riddle me how, if he's that good, why this is the only time this year he's played that way.
Well, let me just say this, okay? And then I'm going to say two things, Joe. And then I'm going to give you a really good Eagles shirt at the end.
Okay.
2 years from now, Jalen Hurts will be the starting quarterback of our team.
Okay.
2 years from now, you might not be a host on WIP.
Oh, interesting poll question. Better chance, long career here in Philly, Hurts or the Hammer? I like that question.
Oh, don't post that.
I smell a good Hammer win, but that's okay. Yeah, right.
All right.
No, I smell a Hammer loss, but an upset when in the end I'm here longer, but that's okay. Go ahead.
All right, and then the other thing, the only thing that made the Eagles' victory sweeter was the fact that the Cowboys lost to the triage unit, formerly known as the 49ers.
Isn't that incredible?
The 49ers ended that game with two skilled players on offense left, all right?
Yeah.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Good job, Billy.
You want to know how bad the Cowboys are, Joe?
Yes.
So they lose that game. Trayvon Diggs goes into the locker room, immediately goes to Twitter and sees a tweet about him from a reporter. And before the reporters are allowed into the locker room, comes out and confronts him in the hallway.
Yeah, it's a
mess. Like, dude, that's your most important thing that you did after that game?
That's a mess.
Look up yourself on Twitter?
Yeah, they got to change their coach. What's really going to be most interesting, I think, in Dallas is whether Dak is out. I tend to think he won't be, because it's hard to find the next guy that's pretty good.
Well, they just re-upped him.
I know. Oh. I know, James. But, like, they're in a messy spot right now. By the way, how many games yesterday, John, ended with a Hail Mary? Was it four?
I
felt like there were a bunch of heaves at the end of games.
Baltimore
yesterday.
Had one, but they didn't make it.
Yeah, no, only one was completed. But I thought there were. Oh, there was one. There was a sack. Who was that? Where a guy was scrambling around to try to throw him, but he ultimately got
the Indy. Indy was one, I think. Maybe.
Might have been. I think there were four. I could be wrong. Three or four. Well, either an actual Hail Mary or an attempt, and the guy got sacked.
The Commanders game is the big one. I've been I've never been on the winning end of that whole experience. Well, I've been on the losing end twice.
Very famous.
Like losing Colorado, Michigan,
times.
Right? That was you were there for that, right?
Well, the Colorado and Michigan thing was that was such a big
unbelievable.
Deal.
Unbelievable.
That was the Cordell to Westbrook, mm-hmm.
Michael Westbrook. Yep.
Do you know what yard line Cordell threw that ball from? Because I do.
I'm going to guess the 29.
27.
Wow. Yeah, wow. I knew it was over 60 yards.
Can you believe that?
It's over 70. Well, that's amazing. Yeah.
73 yards to the goal line. It went about 1 or 2 yards into the end zone. I threw that thing about 75 yards.
John, how does a guy
and that was
get
30 years ago. Guys throw it further now.
How does a guy get that wide open on a Hail Mary?
No,
it was just
Hail
wild.
Mary. It's just the way it
Well, it was a deflection.
I mean, it
yeah, no, but he was like standing there
like
by himself.
Else. Just like the Commanders game. Deflection. Well, bat the ball down.
Totally.
Don't let it hit off your helmet or don't let it hit off your hands. That's the coaching point. Just bat the thing down. Don't be a hero. Don't try to catch it. And it's always they're going up there and they're trying to fumble with it and boing, just right into the hands of the guy behind. But anyway, lost twice. Michael Westbrook, that was my freshman year at Michigan. My sophomore year at Michigan, homecoming, Illinois, same field, same everything. They did the same play and beat us on a Hail Mary.
That's wild,
but no
man.
One ever made anything of that because it wasn't Cordell Stewart and Michael Westbrook and quite as big a game.
Yep. By the way, speaking of, you know, balls that get tipped, let's listen to Isaiah Rodgers. This was a big play. I mean, what an athletic play and a big spot as he steps in for Darius Slay and he tips the ball. Here's Isaiah Rodgers after the game.
Have you done that before? Have you ever tried to purposely tip a ball too?
Yeah, it's something you practice. You feel like as a DB, if you can't get two hands on the ball, it might be hard to actually pick it off with one hand, especially going at that angle I was at. So, you know, just try to we practice tips and overthrows. That's one thing we preach in our room.
Sorry, Mr. Stand up, but you did try to tip it to CJ on that?
I tried it one handed until I realized I couldn't, and I was like, all right, cool.
How did you know he was there?
I trust him. You know, that's one of our plays that he's supposed to get over top, and he was there.
That was very impressive. That was very skilled. I like that wasn't an accident. I mean, he intentionally tipped the ball, you know, one, to bat it away from the receiver, but two, knowing a safety maybe is going to be there, and sure enough, the safety was there, and you get an interception. That was a very skilled play by Isaiah Rodgers. 215.
Absolutely, but that's the type of play that you make when you've got familiarity with the scheme and familiarity with your teammate's job on that play.
Well,
like,
that's
holistic, like gestalt. Yeah. Like, I know the scheme because I know what I do, and I know what he does, and I know what he does, and I know how it all fits together.
Sure.
It takes a little while with a new defensive coordinator, with a new scheme, to get to this point.